Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
I've been looking forward to this segment for a few days now, especially when I saw posted on Twitter pictures of you and Kevin Costner, George.
They're everywhere. The paparazzi.
They're everywhere.
You can't keep away from them. You know, they're just
everywhere.
How do
you live with the paparazzi?
It's tough. It really is. It's tough. Yeah, I had a big Saturday, as I touched on a little bit last week. Played two events. I played with my friends Jason Lovell and Matt Boggs. Lovell is with Buffalo Ruckus, Matt Boggs with Prophets and Outlaws. We took members of each of our bands, and we put together an all-star band, and we played the Texas Forever Fest, and we played right in front of some big-timers, Jason Bolan and Casey Donahue, and this was in Plano. And thanks to all the P1s who came out, talked to a lot of them after the show, including, I told her I'd give her a shout-out, Lori from Lombard. That's Lombard, Illinois, just right down the road from Wheaton. But I bet I talked to, I don't know, three dozen or so P1s who were out there, part of a big crowd that was out in Plano. It was a perfect day. It was beautiful. Playing in an all-star band was really interesting with Jason and Matt, two awesome musicians. You want to hear a little bit of our fine work on a very big stage with a lot of expensive equipment and really loud and everything?
Sure.
This is from a little bit of love that I wrote with Matt and the great Pat Green. And you hear a little bit of Matt, and then I have to sing Pat Green's part in the second verse.
Just a little bit of love goes a long way.
Mr. Jordan.
I remember when it started. The moment you caught my eye. I just knew that I was full. Let me tell you why. You made me feel good by myself. You understood how to speak to my soul, how to feel my heart.
Sounded good.
Thank you. I was nervous trying to execute Pat's part, but yeah, we made it through okay, and it was just it was an awesome experience. I was sad that I couldn't stay around and talk too long. Got to talk to our friend Josh Jones for a while. Who helped put this event together, but didn't get to see Jason Bolan and Casey Donahue because we had to head off to SMU. My keyboard player, Kevin Minahan, and I did to join the rest of the Bird Dogs because Pete Delkus from Channel 8 had us be a part of the Park City's Quail Coalition fundraiser. And they have this at SMU at Armstrong Fieldhouse. That's their indoor practice facility at SMU. We played it last year. They were nice enough to invite us back to play it again this year. And this is a big fundraiser. There are, I forgot to ask Pete how many they had. My guess was about 1,500 people.
Wow.
And these are movers and shakers from our area. Stephen Jones was there. I talked to him briefly.
Okay.
Congratulated him on a really solid off season. He told me we'll see. And we had this strange thing where we see each other at these events. Like I saw him at Highway to Henrietta, and the Bird Dogs played there. And he asked me what I was doing there. I said, well, our band actually played earlier. And goes, oh, I guess I didn't get here early enough. And the other night, I think he kind of wondered, okay, there's a lot of movers and shakers here. What are you doing? You know, he didn't say that, but then he said, well, what are you doing here? And I said, well, my band just played. And he goes, oh, I guess I didn't get here early enough.
He's always missing you
He's
guys.
Always missing out. And, you know, he hadn't missed too much. But we did play the pre-party, as Norm would say, the cocktail hour, which is a cordoned off area of the indoor practice facility. And then, you know, the big ballroom was back behind us.
We run into Steven a lot. Remember when we ran into him at the Masters?
Yeah, that's right. We see him everywhere.
He's kind of like Forrest Gump, or maybe he thinks that about us. God, these guys are everywhere.
And Jake went to a music festival in Montana and ran into him.
Isn't that wild?
So, yeah, Steven does go everywhere. So this was going to be big because they are going to recognize, each year they recognize an outdoorsman, and they've recognized some really famous people like George Strait and originally T. Boone Pickens, and they named their outdoorsman award after T. Boone. And this year they're recognizing the great Kevin Costner. So I wondered, as I asked you guys last week, do you think Kevin Costner would be there early enough to watch our band before the big banquet? My thought was no, that he would be somewhere backstage, still at the hotel. They would bring him in the limo as the dinner was starting, and he would have no idea that there was even a band there. So we're playing, and you know, people are gathering, and you know, it's a cocktail hour, so some are listening. There's P1s there. Thanks to all the P1s who came up and said hi. But in this practice facility that's really nice, they have a balcony that overlooks the practice field. It's named for one of their alums who I'm sure contributed to the building of this indoor practice facility. And I saw that VIPs were starting to gather up there. And then as we went into a sports song, One More Friday Night, it's about my son's high school basketball team, or basketball, his football team. We've been talking so much basketball, his football team, his high school football teams. I see out on the balcony Kevin Costner looking down, listening to the Bird Dogs.
Wow. How cool is that?
Yeah. And I swear to you, I had the thought, because he's a musician. He has a band. He writes music, as we're about to hear in a second. Should I motion him, hey, you want to come do a song, or you want to come down and do a song? And I thought, no, just play cool. Don't call him out and be the loud, obnoxious radio guy who happens to have a band and no one's really listening to you anyway. And no, don't do that. So I didn't. But I thought, okay, here's our little band, the Bird Dogs, who are kind of turning into the Forrest Gump of Texas music. We show up at odd places at odd times, and Stephen Jones doesn't get there quite early enough to see us. But by golly, Kevin Costner did get there, and he's actually looking down. And as I looked up, I said, God, he kind of looks like the Pope, because there are spotlights going around.
Is he wearing the outfit?
No, not the Pope outfit. He had kind of a Yellowstone look. He had black pants and white shirt and a black blazer. Looked very handsome.
Got a goatee going. He does look very handsome.
Yes.
You cleaned up nicely, too.
Thank you. That's sweat. That's not product in my hair.
Oh,
that's sweat.
No. Actually.
Okay. Yeah, I think I smelled like a barn as we're getting to my interaction with
Kevin
Costner.
Have you seen this, Gordo? Have you seen the picture of these two?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw
it's great.
On Twizzler.
It's a really good picture.
I know. I got all excited. It looks a little bit Madame Tussauds Wax Museum or
like
something.
Like Costner's the wax figure.
Yeah. And George is coming up behind him.
Yeah. Or he's a cardboard cutout. And I was, hey, get your picture taken with Kevin Costner.
And this is, you know, my nephew also either texted or tweeted out a picture of him meeting Kevin Costner recently at some event. And Kevin Costner had that same look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think he's so practiced at posing with people that he knows how to look exactly handsome with a little, you know, quarter turn kind of look.
Yeah.
He always looks like perfect.
Perfect. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I'm very jealous because, as you know, I'm a big Yellowstone P1.
I know.
So you were
show.
You were there talking to and next to John Dutton.
Yes. Not the number 78 that used to play defensive tackle for the Cowboys, but yeah, John Dutton of Yellowstone. So there's Kevin Costner. I thought, okay, that's pretty cool. He's up on a balcony. He's hearing the band play.
What song were you playing?
This one, One More Friday Night.
Yeah. So he, how much of this did he listen to?
I think he heard the whole song. Because then we
This is the album version here, right?
Yeah. This is not, we do not
This is really
like
well
this.
Produced.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's from our first record, as a matter of fact, a long time ago. Produced by Martin Baird, my old high school buddy.
Baird.
But so then it's time for, we had to make the announcement, if you can start making your way into the banquet hall, and we'll start tonight's show. So along with this, we're all Kevin Costner fans. We've had him on the show before. We think he's great. Hmm. There's no bigger fan of Kevin Costner in our household than my wife.
Uh-oh.
We spent a lot of time back in the day when we first got married, when the kids were little, the big date night for her birthday would be find a babysitter, and we would go out to dinner, and then we'd go see a Kevin Costner movie. And, yeah, she watches Yellowstone too. She has run off and left me, metaphorically. And, yeah, she's like, what? How many seasons?
Five, I think.
Yeah, she's up there. I've watched just a few episodes. So she's run off and left me on the show. So she's really excited, and she really doesn't – she's very supportive, but let's just say she had a lot more interest in this Bird Dog appearance than any other time we've played outside of maybe Highway to Henrietta.
Sure.
So she was there and was very worried about, you know, what to wear and all this. And I said, look, don't worry about it. We are not going to meet Kevin Costner, and it's not that big a deal, and just whatever. Now, we may get to see him, and you'll be in the same room. At least you could say that. Your favorite actor of all time, and you're in the same room. That's pretty awesome right there. You'll be within 30, 40 feet of him. That's a lot right there. So as we go down and find our table, Pete Delkus was nice enough to put us at a table. And he happened to put us at a table right next to Kevin Costner.
Oh, wow. No.
And I tapped on my wife's shoulder and I said, do you know where we are right now? And she goes, what do you mean? I said, look to your left. And I mean, 15 feet away from us is Kevin.
Wow.
And
not eating. He was just standing there at the time, right?
No, he was sitting down at his table and he was getting ready to eat. Yeah.
Oh, I see. I thought he was at your table.
No. He was at the table right next to us. So Jay Stein, who's with the Quail Coalition, was sitting at our table, and we were talking, and he said, well, would you like to meet him?
Wow.
And I said, well, I don't know. He's got a lot of people coming up to him. And then I got hit on the shoulder, and I said, well, yes, well, sure. Mm-hmm. So Jay was nice enough to take us over and introduce us. And
did you roll tape?
No, I didn't roll tape. I didn't want to do that to Kevin.
I think that's the right call.
Yeah, that's an invasion. Yeah. The moment.
And I've talked to him at training camp. He came up here and did our show in the studio. You brought your mom up.
Who is also a huge Kevin Costner fan. And my mom was battling cancer at that time. And this was like...
sweetest moment of our show, I think.
It was her lifelong dream. I mean, she loved Kevin Costner.
And he couldn't have been nicer that. And you always hear that. Well, mm-hmm. You don't always hear that, but a lot of times you hear that. But this is now the third interaction I've had with him. He couldn't have been nicer to me that day at training camp. Well, I introduced myself, and I said, this my wife, Kelly. She's a huge fan. She's watched all your movies. We went. That was our big date night.
Really?
You told the story.
I found your star. I said, but unbelievable.
You're cheapening his JFK accent. And he immediately turns to her and starts engaging her in conversation.
Wow. He knows how to play that scene. He knows you zero in on the woman.
Yes.
Did her feet lift off the ground?
She almost passed out. And if I heard once, he's so incredibly charming. I heard it 1,000 times
and you're like,
all the way home.
Yeah, he was nice, but what was so charming about it? I mean.
But I know he probably did this with a lot of women there that night because, you know, he knows that they are there to see him and they're all about to pass out. But seriously, he couldn't have been more engaging and nice, and somehow the topic of music came up. I don't know. It was kind of a blur, and I said, yeah, we were the band that was playing. And he goes, yeah, I saw you up there. And I said, I saw you up there. You kind of look like the Pope. And he tapped my chest, and he laughed.
So wow.
The joke went over well.
Okay, good.
Right.
Okay,
good.
Okay.
Kind of like when I made the joke in front of Bono, and
that
he
did
died
not go
laughing.
Over. No, yeah, it did not go really over well. He went laughing. To the next question.
He loved it.
And I said, you know, I even thought about seeing if you wanted to come down and do a song with us. And he goes, I wish you would have. I would have loved that.
Wow.
Dude.
Are you kidding me?
God, that would have been... Now, maybe he was just saying that and he would have been awkward
coming
down there
again,
if you had called him out.
Maybe just playing the part of being the nice guy.
He's being the charmer that he is.
But he was really charming. He was so nice.
Did you ask him if he remembered meeting you before or coming up and doing our show?
I did. I said, you know, I said, we had you on our show and I didn't get the story in about your mom. And I said, but... I said, you know, we had an awesome time with you. I do a show here, local sports station. He, you know, nodded and seemed to be losing interest. And But again, he couldn't have been nicer.
Did you ever have one of those moments when you realize that you've been talking a little bit too long?
Yes, and I didn't want to take up too much of his time.
Yeah, we've actually met you before when you came up in studio one time when you were promoting a film, and I can't remember what film it was, but you came up and you were and I'm just going to stop talking because I realize that now
he's checking his phone.
Right. So he took a picture with us, which was really nice. He made an awesome speech. He referred to the gun that you see in Yellowstone has a really long story behind it that I don't have time for.
Okay.
He did play this song, which he wrote about hunting with his dad for the last time, called Feeling Like the Last Time. And they played it, and then after he made his speech, he came down and went back to his seat, and he walked right by me, and I said, I really like the song. And he turned to me and he shook my hand. He said, thank you very much.
Wow.
And he didn't remember you from just two before songwriters. When you talked to him.
No. It was two songwriters connecting.
Thank you very much. What's your name?
Yeah, what's your name?
No. It was
nice to meet you.
It was almost as if he was saying, let's do a song together sometime.
No, it wasn't. It was
let's do
like
a gig
that.
Together sometime. I think we're best friends kind of handshake.
We kind of are in sister bands right now.
That's the way I took it. But it was cool.
So let's hear him sing here.
Breaking my heart, you slip away from me, feeling like the last time.
Pitch corrected. Not bad.
It's a great. I really do think it's a good song.
Did he play guitar? Is that what he was playing, or
no,
just singing?
As he just said, it's tough for him to get through. It's about his dad.
Yeah.
But I felt that connection too. I've written about my dad.
Sure.
Thought it was you, and we had that connection. I didn't beat him down with that, but I thought that was cool that he wrote about his dad. And he said it makes him really emotional. He can't get through the song, and
so he
played it for the audience, which was maybe somewhat awkward, but it was
wait. He
effective.
Didn't perform this.
No, it was just he said, "I want you to listen to this song."
Got you.
And then
okay.
He came back on. He said, "And by the way, that gun is the gun you see me using on Yellowstone."
Uh huh.
So, and the gun story that was passed down through the generations had a really interesting story to it.
Mm-hmm.
Great storyteller. He is larger than life, and he couldn't have been nicer to everyone that I saw him come in contact with. And he's this year's winner of the T. Boone Pickens Sportsman of the Year.
Is he the celebrity we've met the most? It's just weird that we
be.
Keep running into him.
It's either him or Pauly Shore.
Yeah. You're right. That's another one that we keep interviewing.
So, best friends forever, me and Kevin Costner.
Well, that's an awesome story,
and,
Giorgio.
And by the way, as he was very engaged talking to my wife, I started going down a short list. Okay, if she leaves, there's...
Did he ask her what she's doing after?
Uh-oh. I mean, I've expected that to be the next. Is he has his hand on her hip, and they're talking. I went through the short list, you know.
Is he the hall pass?
Jennifer
one?
Aniston. May or may not be. I don't know what you mean by hall pass. So. I don't know what you mean by that.
It's
but.
So tense. Was she extra feisty later that night?
No. But I was happy for her. She
so energized.
Just like your mom had such a great experience. It was such a great experience for her. So, yeah, it was cool.
That's
he made
great.
A lot of nights that night.
Glad you had a good evening with Koss, our buddy.
Don't call him that.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen. The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.